Hello there. Who's your favorite auntie? It's me, it's Silly Aunt Sissy. Silly Aunt Sissy is here to stay. Welcome to Silly Aunt Sissy's show, where she reads you stories and takes you on adventures to the wild side. 'Cause that's what Silly Aunt Sissies do. Welcome to Story Time with Silly Aunt Sissy, your favorite auntie. Yay! Thanks for joining us today, boys and girls, and mommies and daddies and aunts and uncles and grandparents and grandpas and grandmas and everybody in between. Well, guys, and if you just like stories, welcome to Silly Aunt Sissy Radio Theater. We're going to start with Where the Sidewalk Ends. Couple poems. Oh, the thumbsucker's thumb may look wrinkled and wet and withered and white as the snow, but the taste of a thumb is the sweetest taste yet, as only we thumbsuckers know. Wild boar. If you tell me the wild boar has 20 teeth, I'll say, why, sure. Or say that he has 33, the number's quite all right with me. Or scream that he has 99, I'll never say that you are lying. For the number of teeth in a wild boar's mouth is a subject I'm glad I know nothing about. Lester. Lester was given a magic wish by the goblin who lives in his banyan tree. And with this wish, he wished for two more wishes. So now instead of just one wish, he clearly had three. And simply with each one of these, he simply wished for three more wishes, which gave him three old wishes plus nine new. And with each of these 12, he slyly wished for three more wishes, which added up to 46, or is it 52? Well, anyway, he used each wish to wish for wishes till he had 5,007,018,034, and then he spread them on the ground and clapped his hands and danced around and skipped and sang and then sat down and wished for more and more and more. They multiplied while other people smiled and cried and loved and reached and touched and felt. Lester sat among his wealth, stacked mountain high like stacks of gold, salt and counted with and grew old. And then one Thursday night they found him dead with his wishes piled around him. Oh. And they counted the lot and found that not a single one was missing. All shiny and new, here take a few. And think of Lester as you do. In a world of apples and kisses and shoes, he wasted his wishes on wishing. What will you wish for? Take a wish, close your eyes, and count to three. One, two, three. Make a wish. Oh, here's my favorite poem in the whole wide world. Yeah, this is true. Sarah Cynthia Sylvia Stout would not take the garbage out. This is my favorite. It has to be. Sarah Cynthia Sylvia Stout would not take the garbage out. She scoured the pots and scraped the pans, candied the yams and spiced the hams. And though her daddy would scream and shout, she simply would not take the garbage out. So it piled up to the ceiling, coffee grounds and potato peelings, brown bananas, rotten peas, and chunks of sour cottage cheese. It filled the can, it covered the floor, it cracked the window and blocked the door with bacon rinds and chicken bones and drippy ends of ice cream cones. Pine pits, peach pits, orange peel, gloppy glops of cold oatmeal, pizza crust and withered greens, soggy beans and tangerines, crust of black burned buttered toast, gristly bits of beefy roast. The garbage rolled on down the hall. It raised the roof, it broke the wall. Greasy napkins, cookie crumbs, and globs of gooey bubblegum. Cellophane from green balcony, rubbery, bubbly macaroni, peanut butter caked and dry, curdled milk and crust of pie, moldy melons, dried up mustard, eggshells mixed with lemon custard, cold French fries and rancid meat, yellow lumps of cream of wheat. At last the garbage reached so high, they found it touched the sky, oh my. And all the neighbors moved away, and pew-wee, and none of her friends would come to play. And finally Sarah Cynthia Stout said, okay, I'll take the garbage out. But then, of course, it was too late. The garbage reached the state. Reached across the street from New York to the Golden Gate. And there in the garbage she did hate, poor Sarah met an awful fate that I cannot right now relate, because the hour is much too late. But children, remember Sarah Cynthia Stout, and always take the garbage out. That's a lesson. That's my favorite poem. One more. Drats. Can anyone lend me 2 80-pound rats? I want to rid my house of cats. Hat. I lied one more. Teddy said it was a hat, so I put it on. Now Daddy says, where the heck's the toilet plunger gone? My rules. If you want to marry me, here's what you have to do. You must learn how to make a perfect chicken dumpling stew, and you must sew my holy socks, and soothe my troubled mind, and develop the knack for scratching my neck, and keep my shoes spotlessly shined. And when I rest, you must rake up the leaves. And when it's hailing and snowing, you must shovel the walk. And be still when I talk. And hey, where are you going? Those are my rules, too. Where are you going? All right, tomorrow we'll read Oh, Have You Heard? All right. Well, Silly Aunt Sissy says it's time for the Boxcar Children. More adventures. And we left that they were going to go back with Joe to get more Indian stuff for their museum. Chapter 8, Indian Point. After a long sleep, the children were as good as new. I feel like just starting out again, said Jesse. So do I, agreed Henry. I wonder why Joe was so excited over the shell pile. Let's ask him. What did you say you must see that pile of shells, began Henry, when they found Joe at the hut. Oh, because I'm interested in things like that, answered Joe. The shell pile means that Indians must have been on this island. Come right along, Joe, said Benny. I'll show it to you. He took a hold of Joe's hand and tried to pull him up. The children laughed as Joe got up on his feet. In a little while, the explorers arrived at the shell pile. What a wonderful thing to find, shouted Joe. Why, asked Jesse. Joe was looking at some of the broken shells. Well, he said, I'm sure the Indians made the pile. Do you remember from school they made shell money called wampum? Sometimes they use these qualong shells for the purple part. Quahogs are clams. You think they sat here to make wampum? Asked Henry. Yes, and I think they dried clams here, too, replied Joe, looking at some unbroken quahog shells. Why? Asked Jesse. Well, Joe laughed and said, these are whole clam shells, so the Indians must have sat here to take the clams out of the shells. They used to dry the clams and then eat them later. Jessie knew that, said Benny. She said they sat here for years and years. But I don't know they were Indians, said Jessie. Do you think we could find any wampum here, Joe asked. Joe asked Henry. No, I don't really think so. They would save it because it was money. But we must find some old tools they used. The Indians used to smooth the shells on stones and then make the holes with tools they got from white men. Let's dig, said Benny. You can tell us if we find a tool. I'd like to dig, said Joe, but we ought to have something good to dig with. Let's go back and get something from Captain Daniel. I'm too tired, said Benny. And so it is, Watch and Violet, he said. And so is Watch, Henry laughed. You sit right down here with Watch and Violet, he said. And don't go away from here and don't get into trouble. The rest of us will get the things and come right back. Remember now. All right, said Benny, sitting down. While you're waiting, you can do some digging with a stick, called Joe. Save everything you aren't sure about. Violet began at once to look over the broken shells. Why don't you look, Benny, she said. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you and I found something good while they're gone? Let's try. You try, said Benny. I don't care. All I can find is this big chicken leg. Chicken leg? That's too big for a chicken. Well, maybe a horse then. It's an old bone anyway, said Benny. I'll save it for Joe. He will know for sure. Violet dug at the shells. Benny, you know all those shells look as if someone broke them. And a lot of the purple part is gone. That means that Joe is right, and they did make wampum here. Of course Joe is right, said Benny. Joe is always right. It seems funny to me, said Violet, that Joe is just a handyman. I shouldn't be thinking he worked on the island if he knew so much. Well, maybe he does something else too, said Benny. And maybe he came here to have a good time and learn things this summer just like us. Then the others came back. They had clam hooks and a shovel, and Joe had a camera. A camera? Cried Benny. You can take a picture of Watch digging up an Indian. I wish I could, said Joe, laughing. I want to take a picture of the shell pile. You and Watch sit right here where you are. That will show how big the shell pile is. Violet scrambled out of the way. No, no, said Joe. Don't go. I want you in the picture, too. You stand beside Watch. So Violet stood where she was, and Joe took the picture. He took four pictures of one from each side. Why do you want all these pictures, Joe? Asked Henry. Maybe I'd better tell you something, said Joe. If the people on the mainland knew about this pile, they would be over here with cameras and shovels before we would stop them. You wouldn't like that, would you? Oh, no, cried Benny. We don't want a lot of people over here. You children had better not tell anyone about the shell pile before your grandfather knows, said Joe. All right, we won't, said Henry. We'll tell grandfather when he comes to visit us. Now let's dig. I'd like to do this for a living, Joe. Go to far-off places and dig up bones and things. Good for you, cried Joe. It is very interesting work, but let me warn you, it isn't all fun. You may work for a year and not find anything. Just like fishing, said Benny. Exactly, cried Joe. Maybe you'd like to work with Henry. No, I wouldn't. I'd rather fish, said Benny, because you can eat the fish. You will help us now, won't you? Asked Henry. We need every man we can get. Sure, said Benny. Watch, you can help too. Watch obeyed, but he soon barked and held up his paw. There was a white bone sticking in it. A fish hook, cried Joe. Right in your paw, Watch. Here, let me take it out. It's a fish hook made from an animal bone. That means Indians used to fish here, doesn't it? Asked Henry. Yes, I think so, said Joe. Now, do you want to work just a little more? I'd like to dig around the pile before we go. Sure. We're not hungry, said Benny, because we ate so much too. What do you think we'll find, Joe? I haven't any idea, said Joe. He took the shovel and soon dug quite a big hole. They all sat down on their hands and knees to look in the hole. Is that anything? Said Violet. It looks like a piece of a dish. It is a piece of a dish, shouted Joe. Here's another piece, said Jesse, handing it to Joe. I think that these are all pieces of a bowl, cried Joe. The children found some more pieces and gave them to Joe. He wiped off the sand and put the pieces together. Yes, this is a cooking bowl, said Joe. I'm sure now that Indians lived here. We know now that they used to get clams here and that they made wampum here. We may find more things. This island is a very wonderful place. Violet could see that Joe kept his eyes on the bowl every minute. That dish tells us more than anything else we have found, said Joe. I don't think so, said Benny. To everyone's surprise, I think my horse bone tells the most because it tells the Indians had horses. See? Benny pointed the bone sticking up out of the sand. Benny Alden, Joe shouted. The Indians didn't have horses because the white man came before the white man came. Where did you find this? On the back of the pile. We're digging on the wrong side, I guess, said Benny. It's a man's bone, Benny. It's part of a skeleton. Did you know what a skeleton is? Oh, yes. All of us have a skeleton inside of us. It's made of bones. That's right, said Benny. Show us exactly where you found the bone. Right here, said Benny, going to the other side of the pile. Let's dig, cried Joe. But be careful. Down, Watch. You're a good dog, but this is no place for you to dig. Oh, children, look. Another bone came into sight. If you don't mind, please let me do the digging with you, will you? Just sit and watch. The children sat back and watched Joe as he slowly dug the sand away. Even Benny was excited as he saw 12 small bones side by side in the sand. There ought to be another set just like these, said Joe. There they are, shouted Henry. And look, Joe, look at the arrowhead sticking out. He was shot, cried Joe. Shot with an arrow. This is the skeleton of an Indian. Before long, the whole skeleton lay before the excited children. Well, well, said Joe, sitting back to rest. We can't move the skeleton because we haven't the right tools. It will be safe because nobody knows it is here. Let's cover him up again. Cover him up? But we just found him, Joe. He's for our museum. Oh, I know, Benny, said Joe. Will you leave him here just to please me? We can dig some other day in the cave. Aren't you getting hungry now? Yes, I am, said Benny. Let's go home and get some bread and milk. Jesse smiled at Joe. It's so easy to please Benny sometimes. Shall we take the bowl, Joe? She asked. Oh, yes. Take all the small things to put in your museum. So the explorers took their collection of clam hooks and Indian things and started home for supper. Let's call this the end of the island Indian point, said Henry. And this is what it was always called after that. Chapter 9, A New Violin. Shall we read one more chapter? What do you think? Let's do it. Chapter 9, A New Violin. After supper, a few days later, the children sat resting in the doorway of the barn. Listen, said Violet suddenly. Since Violet never said anything suddenly, everyone looked at her in surprise and listened. Then they heard the sound of a violin. Who can that be? Asked Violet. Let's find out, said Henry. Watch ran right to Captain Daniel's hut, and the four children followed. There sat Joe in the doorway playing a real violin. He did not stop when he saw the children. They stared at him and watched his fingers fly as he played very fast pieces. When Joe finished, Benny said, I didn't know you had a violin. Oh, please play it again. When did you learn to play? Cried Violet. Could I hold it just a minute? Jesse and Henry were too surprised to speak. This is not at all like Violet. When Joe handed the violin to her, Violet took it and put it under her chin. Play something, said Joe. Oh, no, I can't play it. I just like to hold it a minute under my chin. You mind, Joe? No, no, said Joe, but don't you want me to show you how to play? Not now. You said you play some more, said Violet. She gave the violin back as if she had played one all of her life. Joe did play some more, first a slow little piece and then a faster one. But Jesse and Henry were not watching Joe. They were watching Violet. She stood without moving all the time Joe was playing. Joe was watching Violet, too. He was sure she could learn to play well, because she seemed to take the violin so much. She seemed to like the violin so much. When the family went back to the barn at last, they were all thinking of Joe's wonderful playing that night. When Jesse went to sleep, it seemed to her that Joe played such a sad piece that Violet cried. But when Jesse woke up, she knew that it was real crying that she heard, for Violet was crying softly. Jesse got up at once. What is the matter? She asked, falling on her knees beside Violet's bed. Why are you crying? I want to learn to play the violin, said Violet, starting to cry again. Of course you shall. I know Grandfather will buy you a violin, and Joe can teach you how to play it. It's not that, said Violet. You see, I want to practice, and it's so selfish to go off and practice all by myself when I ought to be helping. Henry came in with a flashlight. Oh, my goodness, cried Jesse. What can I say? You talk to her, Henry. I heard most of it, said Henry. She thinks she's selfish to practice when we came down here to have a good time together. Is that it? That's it, said Jesse. Now, Violet, said Henry, you couldn't be selfish if you tried. We all want you to learn to play the violin. Most people don't even like to practice, you know. Henry's little talk with Violet made her feel better. Soon they were all talking again and even laughing a little. Shh, said Jesse. We'd better be quiet. We don't want to wake Benny. He would certainly howl. The children left Violet feeling happy again and thinking about the little violin her grandfather would surely buy for her. The next morning, Joe got Captain Daniel to telephone Mr. Alden. He listened to the story and thought about his own beautiful violin carefully packed away. But he said to Captain Daniel, "Certainly Violet must have a violin. The only trouble is that I'm too busy this morning to buy one for her." "Joe thinks he can pick one out," said Captain Daniel. "His playing is just wonderful." "That Joe is a very interesting man," replied Mr. Alden. "I'll have to talk to him when I come over. Give him the money for the violin, Captain, and let him buy one if he thinks he can." When Joe came back to Alden Island with the little violin, Violet was waiting for him on the dock. Joe was sure that Violet could someday be a wonderful player, so he had bought her a fine violin. The rest of the family came flying down to see if Joe had any luck. After they had all seen the violin, Violet shut the box. "I don't think it likes to be outdoors," she said. "I don't think so either," agreed Joe. "Let's take it to the hut, and I will give you your first lesson." "I'll go with you," said Benny. "No, you had better stay on the dock with us and fish," said Henry quickly. "Are you going to fish?" asked Benny. "Yes," said Henry, who had not thought of anything until that very minute. "Just think, Benny. We've been here for 4 weeks, and we haven't had a single fishing trip yet." Suddenly, Henry found that he wanted to go fishing himself. "You'll find fishlings and bait in the old box under the dock," called Joe. Luck was surely with Henry. He baited a hook with a clam. Then he let down a long line and gave the end to Benny. Almost at once, Benny began to yell and pull away on his line, hand over hand. "Good," cried Henry when Benny finally landed the fish on the dock. "What a wonderful fisherman you are, Benny. Wait, I'll take it off the hook for you and pull it on a string." "What a big one," said Jesse. "Don't catch many more of these, Benny, or we'll be eating fish for a week." The children sat on the dock for a long time, but nothing happened. "I wish I could catch one," said Jesse. "Another fish like the one Benny caught, and we would have enough for dinner, and I know just how to bake them with dressing." "I'm getting tired of this," said Henry. "I'm going to stop." "I'm not. My grandfather told me fishing takes a lot of time." "He did take you fishing once, didn't he?" said Henry. "I remember I wanted to go, but I had to do schoolwork. He told me that if I think I won't catch a fish, then I will catch one for sure. And so when I do catch one, I'm surprised," said Benny. "I see," said Henry, sitting down again. He tried his own line to do the dock, and because he really did not think he would get any fish, he looked at the boats. Henry had just sat down when Benny shouted, "Hooray! You've got a fish. Don't you see your line pull?" Benny jumped for Henry's line, and before anyone could help him, he pulled in another fish just like the first one. "Oh, Jesse, isn't that something? They are two twins, I guess." "I guess you're the fisherman of the family, all right," said Henry. "You and Grandfather. I don't even know when there is a fish on my own line." Henry put a string through the mouth of the other fish, and Benny carried them proudly home. "Joe can clean them for me," said Benny. "Oh, I can do that," said Henry. "I can clean fish, even if I don't catch them." "Cut them in half, Henry, will you?" called Jesse. "I will go in and start the dressing." Benny would not leave his twin fishes even for a minute. After Henry had washed them, Benny brought them to Jesse and stayed by her side while she put them in a pan. Jesse piled the dressing made of bread, onions, and melted butter and salt on 4 pieces of fish. "I guess they will be good," said Benny, as the oven door shut. He sat by the oven with the dog until Jesse said that it was dinner time. Violet came in. She put her violin carefully away, but she did not talk about her lesson. "Maybe Grandfather and I could go fishing," said Benny, "but we might not catch anything." "Grandfather won't have time to go fishing, Benny," said Henry. "Let's have dinner from our own garden. Remember those little vegetables we had in the boxcar days, Benny?" "Oh, yes, little vegetables with melted butter," cried Henry. "Let's have vegetables." "That's a better idea. Then we'll be sure to have some dinner," said Jesse, laughing. Chapter 10, Grandfather's Visit. Grandfather makes it to the island. And we'll read that next time. Well, thanks for listening. Goodbye, goodbye from Silly Aunt Sissy. It's been fun reading you stories. So come back again for more, and we'll have some fun with your favorite auntie, Silly Aunt Sissy. Thanks, guys. I see you. Bye.